pick up the authorized version in the English language of the Holy Scriptures, you'll find in your pew before you, and turn with me to the Psalm numbered 11, to the 11th Psalm. We'll read this Psalm together, Psalm number 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Amen. And God will seal his word with his divine blessing and seal. Amen and amen. Psalm number 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You will remember that in the vocabulary of the devil, this word "if" was used frequently, as was recorded in our Lord's own temptation by Satan. The first word that the devil is reported to have spoken to the incarnate Son of God was this word "if." If thou art the Son of God. Of course, that was a word that had no real meaning, because Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He always was the Son of God from all eternity. He was the Son of God when he came into time. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave the Son, his only begotten Son. And Christ will ever be the Son of God. He was, he is, and he will be forever the Son of God. So in this text of Scripture, this word "if" can only be taken hypothetically. The foundations which God has laid in Zion are indestructible. They cannot be destroyed. He will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. They can never be destroyed. They are indestructible. The devil cannot shake them. The gates of hell cannot shake them. The combined forces of this whole evil world of every generation can achieve. Time cannot alter that. Eternity only confirms that. God's foundations stand forever sure. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." In studying the scriptures, you will find that there are seven foundations laid in Zion by our Lord as the foundations of his church. The first one is the indestructible foundation book. This blessed gospel that we preach, and this church of Jesus Christ, has an indestructible foundation, and that is the indestructible book. And that's where we start. We're not listening for a word from Rome or from Canterbury or from anyone else. We listen to the book. This church is founded on the book. This is the book of God. It's not man's book. This is the word of God. It's not man's word. This is the writing of God. It's not man's writing. It is a self-revelation of God's being. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And it was given to us by holy men of God, patriarchs, prophets, princes, priests, apostles, evangelists, and by God's own dear Son itself. We believe in this foundation. It is true every whit. Every jot and every tittle of this book is verbally inspired. This book is without error. It makes no mistakes. It contains no falsehoods. It's the infallible, inerrant, unchangeable, indestructible book of God. It is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Brethren and sisters in Christ, from the first end, in Genesis chapter 1, to the last amen in Revelation chapter 22, it is the book of a God who cannot lie. If it was not God's book, what a sad world we would be in today. If we hadn't the light of this book, what darkness would cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But God has set his light upon a hill, and it cannot be destroyed. The Bible is God's foundation book. It's the Word of the living God. Thank God we know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. What frees us from our sins is this book. What frees us from our doubts is this book. What gives us freedom for all the tangled paths of the world we'll still have to tread as we live on this earth? It is this book. This book is the imparter of everlasting life and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let those who think they can do without this book continue on their road of folly and on their path to hell. But dear believers, this morning, take this book again to your heart. Grip it. It is the very core of life's abiding joy. To take it away would bereft us of all joy, all peace, all life, both now and evermore. As the poet said so well, should all the forms that man devise assault my soul with treacherous heart, I'll call them vanity and lies. I'll bind this book unto my heart. God has laid a foundation, an indestructible book. But let us turn to the second foundation, the indestructible foundation belief. What is the fundamental belief and faith that is taught in this very book? All men, no matter what their creed may be, have to admit that the Bible has one great fundamental doctrine. And that doctrine is this: the only way of salvation is by faith alone. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot be saved by religious acts or sacraments or ceremonies. One thing alone is the cardinal truth of the Word of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Martin Luther was right. He said this doctrine tells you if the church is the true church, and if it's going to stand forever. For any church that doesn't believe in justification by faith alone is not a true church, but is a false church. There is no question here of watering down the truth. I have served my Lord in preaching from my ordination to the holy ministry some 59 years ago. I have seen many multitudes of people come to Christ, but that does not give me any assurance of salvation, nor does it bring me hope for eternity. It is not a works that men are saved. It is not of works that the minister is saved. He must be saved like anyone else. He must come as a sinner to Jesus. And I'm glad on the 29th day of May, 1932, I received Christ as my own Savior and my own Lord. It was not so much as me finding Christ, but hallelujah, Christ found me. And there's a great difference. Christ is all to me, all in all. It is Christ alone that saves me. It is Christ alone that keeps me. It is Christ alone that blesses me. It is Christ and Christ alone that I trust for eternal pardon on the great day of judgment. And I remember singing a piece years ago. It came to me, to my memory, as I was preparing this message. It runs like this. I entered once a home of care, for age and penury were there, yet peace and joy withal. I asked the lonely mother whence her helpless widowhood's defense. She told me, Christ is all. Christ is all. All in all, she told me, Christ is all. I stood beside a dying bed, where lay a child with aching head, waiting for Jesus' call. I marked his smile, 'twas sweet as May, and as his spirit passed away, he whispered, Christ is all. Christ is all. All in all. He whispered, Christ is all. I saw the martyr at the stake. The flames could not his courage shake, nor death his soul appall. I asked him whence his strength was given. He looked triumphantly to heaven and answered, Christ is all. Christ is all. All in all. He answered, Christ is all. I saw the gospel herald go to Africa's sand and Greenland's snow to save from Satan's thrall. Nor home nor life he counted dear, mid wants and perils, own no fear. He felt that Christ was all. Christ is all, all in all. He felt that Christ is all. I dreamed that hoary time had fled, and the earth and sea give up their dead. A fire dissolved this ball. I saw the church's ransom throng. I heard the burden of their song. 'Twas Christ is all in all. Christ is all. All in all. 'Twas Christ is all in all. Then come to Christ, dear sinner friend. Oh, come today, the Father, Son, and Spirit say. The bride repeats the call, for he will cleanse your guilty stains. His love will soothe your weary pains, for Christ is all and all. Christ is all, all in all, for Christ is all in all. The foundation belief is simply that. Mr. Spurgeon used to say, we are all in this boat together. I mean those of us who have believed. The weakest cannot sink unless the boat goes down. The strongest cannot float unless the ship bears them up. We're all in it together. Trust in Christ and in Christ alone. The man with weak faith is saved, for he's in the boat. The man with strong faith is no better saved than a man with weak faith. He might have more comfort, but he's not better saved. Because the only things that saves you is to be in the ark. Are you in the ark today? The third indestructible foundation is the foundation basis. We have looked at the indestructible foundation, the book. We have looked at the indestructible foundation belief. Now we look at the indestructible foundation basis. What is the basis of our faith? It is God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The foundation basis is that Christ took my place and died for me. That's the basis on which justification rests. For if Christ had not died, our faith would have been completely in vain. Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, who himself bare our own sins, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions. The vicarious sacrifice of Christ being made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, is the indestructible foundation basis. It is Christ offering for us a true, proper, substitutionary sacrifice in the room and stead of those that are mentioned in that beautiful gospel text in John 6 and 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And for every given one, Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid the full debt. There is no hope for such lost sinners, such as we are, but in Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. This is the third foundation. The basis of the indestructible foundations laid by Christ, who we are told is a wise master builder. Oh, my sinner friend, this morning, view the following. Of the Savior's precious blood, with divine assurance knowing, he has made our peace with God. Believe it. Trust it. Let your soul be enacted by it. The world hates this foundation basis. Hell gnashes its teeth at it. Satan pours out all his poisonous venom upon it. But let us proclaim it, though the stars fall out of the heaven. It is the hope of every believing Christian. There's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. I've been washed in the blood. I have inside information. I know that his blood cleanseth me from all sin. We must not, and we will not give up the blood theology. We dare not. For without the blood there can be no life, for the life is in the blood. Why has the gospel life? Because it's the gospel of the blood. Fourthly, the indestructible foundation business. Having looked at the foundation book, the foundation belief, the foundation thesis, let me draw your attention to the foundation business. What is that? It is the work of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. How do I know I am a child of God? I know because His Spirit witnesses to my spirit that I am the child of God. There's no use you witnessing to yourself. You need a witness that is infallible, that is unchangeable, that is known to be holy and true and always correct. And thank God today I have that witness of the Spirit within my heart. The whole world can stand and point its finger at me and say to me, you are not saved. All I can do is laugh at the foolish world, because I have a witness in my heart that I am a child of God. And it doesn't matter what happens to me, that witness can never be effaced or broken. It's the witness of the Spirit of God.